Okay, everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
So as a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot on our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do inside the practice room. The other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about.
That being said, let's trek further down the path of...
Congrats on your music degree. Now what? So that's our topic for the day. You just graduated school, or maybe you just went to school, and you're no longer going to school. So what do you do now?
Move back in with your parents? Is that kind of...
Exactly. So before we get into what to do here, let me explain a little about school. The most important thing about music school is who you meet, and obviously you want to practice and get better at what you do, but it's more about the connections you make in school. The connections that you make in school can follow you to work well down the road. I still play with a ton of people that I went to school with, and a lot of the connections that I've made in the music business are because of those people. So hopefully while you were at school, you were playing with a lot of people and making friends and making connections. That being said, what do you do when you get out of school? Well, firstly, there's no job listing board. You know, a lot of students know this already, but you'd be surprised. A lot of people think that because they went to a school like Berklee or Manhattan School of Music or Juilliard, North Texas, Miami, and the list goes on, that there's some clout with being associated with that school or graduating, and maybe there's a job listing board or you're going to get opportunities directly from that schooling. The truth is that there is no job listing board. There's no guarantees, and no one cares where you went to school.
You get good groups out of that, though. Definitely stay in touch with everybody, because I've seen a lot of, like, you know, here in LA, people that have gone to school together, they make work for each other.
Agreed. And your scene that you get out of school is important. So it's all about the community of it. And this will lead into your musical career, because it's all about growing your scene and growing your community. If you can do that, you're going to be a lot more successful. I can tell you that I went to Manhattan School of Music, and no one has ever asked me where I went to school except for just being curious. Throughout all my life of auditioning or playing with people, no one cares at all. So if you think that, again, because you went to Berklee or because you went to a certain school, that you're going to get work out of that, that's not true. It's all, again, about your friends.
It's what you do on stage.
Right.
But you need your friends to get you on that stage to audition. That's for sure.
Agreed. All right, this brings me to the next point, location. It's important to think about where you're going to set up shop, because you don't want to have to make connections twice or three times or four times. You want to try to plant your feet somewhere good, somewhere steady, and make things work and make a plan. Now, some of that might have to do with if you have connections in a certain neighborhood already. Maybe some of your friends from school are all going to Los Angeles, or they're all going to Nashville, or they're all going to New York, or there's a certain amount of them that are going to those areas. And you might want to go there because you know you have a built-in scene and you can start kind of a mini scene and see if you can grow it. That's not a bad idea. Also, it depends on what kind of music you're into. You know, there's a lot of stereotypes about New York and Los Angeles. People say, yeah, New York's the jazz city, LA's the pop city. And that's not true. There's jazz in LA. Yeah, there's jazz in LA, and there's pop in New York. That being said, there is more pop in Los Angeles than New York, and there's more jazz in New York. It doesn't mean there's not a scene in both, and there's not amazing players in both. It just has to do with there's more of one thing, and depending on if that matters to you, you might gear yourself towards a different city. Or if you want to write music for commercials or for television, there's different ways of doing that, and there's different cities and areas that are better for these things. So you want to research your neighborhood and set up shop in a place that works for you. Also, if you hate the cold weather, you might not want to be in New York. In the summer, it's hot, but it gets cold in the winter. Los Angeles, if you're really scared of earthquakes or a drought, then stay away. But I don't know many people that have a phobia of earthquakes or drought. That being said,
I'm definitely more scared of droughts now than I am of earthquakes. It gets crazy, man.
I lived in Los Angeles for 7 years, and you know, you start sleeping through the earthquakes as long as they don't break anything terrible. As long as only a few things fall off the wall.
I even want to say, as far as picking a location, I mean, the whole rent thing comes into factor now because everything's so expensive. If you have a crew somewhere in a city where you know you can live with them and live for cheap rent, that takes so much stress out. I mean, that's
true.
You know, that's just lifestyle stuff. But if you have people you can move to a place with, you can also convince friends to move with you. You know, you're all out of school. Like, the world is kind of your playground at that point. You can make it happen. Be like, hey, let's all move here. Don't be afraid to ask, you know?
Yeah, if you have four friends or something like that that can split a house, you're going to make off a lot better. And there's also a lot of different micro locations that we should talk about. For instance, if you're in Los Angeles, Los Angeles is pretty big. And if you haven't been there, it's really spread out. It's kind of like one big suburb. It's a lot different than New York City, where everything is kind of melded by the subway system. And if you're not really on the subway system, it's harder to move around.
Yeah, you're going to want a car.
LA's pretty spread out. Yeah, no one really walks in Los Angeles. I mean, they do, but they don't have a car.
And also, don't let the car thing stress you out either, because you can get used cars for pretty cheap. They don't rust. There's no rain. So, you know,
true.
That's a plus.
There's a difference in the quality of life and the cost of life. For instance, when I moved from New York City, we were on the Upper West Side, and we moved to Silver Lake in Los Angeles. And the rent was cheaper, and the place was nicer. You know, we had a dishwasher and all these things.
I would imagine it was way more room.
Yeah, way more room than New York City. So it was cheaper, but then you factor in that you have to get a car, and you have car insurance and these things, and then it just kind of evens out. It's not really more expensive to have a car and do those things. And to be honest, the fact people say LA traffic is the absolute worst. Yeah, it's bad. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But if you are a New Yorker like I was, I didn't really care. I got a lot done in the car. You can listen to podcasts like this one. You're probably in traffic right now actually listening to this podcast.
It's your own private space too. That's a different style of life than it is for New Yorkers.
Yeah, I never cared about it. But what I was getting at is there are these micro locations. For instance, if you look at a map of New York City, you have Brooklyn, you have Queens, you have Long Island and Staten Island, and these are all the boroughs around New York City. Although they on a map, everything looks super close, and it is in a way, you actually kind of have to be within a certain radius in order to be hanging. And what I mean by hanging is you kind of have to be out and showing your face, especially when you're new to the scene. You can't be too far off the beaten path. And although New Jersey is right across the water, it's really hard to make the scene in the beginning when you're in New Jersey, because you have to come across either a bridge or a tunnel or the PATH train all the time, every night, and it'll become hard for you. It's not impossible. It's just harder.
I would think that's expensive, too. I mean, if you're taking taxis, if you're going out drinking and taking taxis, like,
well, you probably just take the PATH train, you know. But that being said, if you can find a place in Brooklyn or Long Island City, Queens, or I'm not even going to get into specific locations, but my point is you really want to research exactly where you're going to live. And just because you find a really cheap rent near New York doesn't mean it's worth it, right? If it's not really convenient, it might not be worth it. The same is true with LA. There's pockets which are nicer to live and just better to live than others. I mean, in LA, the one thing that you have to wonder about is if you're on the east side and then you know that you have work in a specific studio that's on the west side and you have to get there by a certain time.
You gotta make some time. Yeah. Everything's like an hour.
Exactly.
You're just like, oh, I have a session at 3, like I'm leaving at 2. Just to be safe, you know, and again, it's always good to be early. Early is on time for sure. And if you do that out here, it impresses people.
Yeah, my friend used to say, early is on time is late and late is dead.
Lita's dead. Jesus.
Yeah, just dead.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's just pretty. Yeah, it's terrifying.
The but, population of LA would be like five people if that were true.
It's a different scene. But you know, Jake knows. I mean, you used to work in Burbank and
Oh my God, you were
doing work there and you had to drive from Culver.
You got to look at it like a game. Like I have so many routes I would get. It was great. You know, the first few times it was stressful. But after that, I get podcasts. I'm just like, it's a video game at that point. And there's a, certain, listen, you know, it's meditation time too. You have, it's forced time alone. I love that. I have no complaints about that.
Yeah. And any New York people that, you know, we wax poetic about the subway and it's great. It does what it does, but eventually you want your space. So let's move on. What's your money situation? Do you have loans from school? Ooh. That's kind of big. And are your parents helping you out? Do you have to get a day job in order to support your career in the beginning? All these are really important. You know, when I went to school, I left. I didn't even graduate Manhattan School of Music. I just left because I was working and I didn't really want to accrue more debt. And I worked. I worked in warehouses. I painted houses. I did everything while I was gigging. And I would get back from a gig at 3 or 4 in the morning and then wake up at 7 and just do it all over again. And part of that helped me work harder because I hated it. I hated doing that. I hated waking up that early and being exhausted. And I just wanted to do music all the time. And because I did it, it helped my drive. And I mean, I guess I always had a really good work ethic, but that really helped me kick it into high gear. So don't be afraid to work super hard and so you can see what it's like and understand what you have to work on in order to be full time.
Don't underestimate teaching either, though. I think it's gotten easier now that people do like digital lessons. Plus, there's like, if you move to a big city, there's so many schools, not even, you know, there's like small music schools that people just open. If you can find as many schools, you apply to everything, even if they don't have your instrument yet, they might just be waiting for that teacher to come in and be like, okay, now we teach violin because, you know, this guy's here. But that can be, you know, really lucrative pretty fast in a big city. So
yeah, and you know, getting back to the music school thing, your degree, that's kind of one of the only spots where a degree can help you is when someone wants to put in copy that you teach at their school and they want to write down that you're a graduate of so-and-so school to show that you have that skill or that credential.
Yeah, so and it's all personal push too. You got to sell yourself. Yeah. You get to a city, you're like, I'm a teacher. Like, you start putting ads, you set a price, not too high, but definitely not too low. I mean, you can get work. I've seen people just straight up go to teaching and just make crazy money, and it's all done themselves.
I actually know a good friend of ours that will not be named. His strategy for teaching, he does really well, and what he would do on the phone is ask people where they were from before he quoted them a price. So he'd say, oh, okay, so where are you from? Like, where's your neighborhood? Because I have to drive to it. And if they were from Brentwood or Beverly Hills, he'd quote them about $30 more than if they were from another area. You know, you do what you got to do. That's part of the hustle.
I mean, it's how it works.
But the other part of what I was going to say with the money thing is, how much money do you need to make, right? That's important. So you have to figure out your lifestyle and what you need, because the reality is that you're not going to move to a new town and be gigging right away and making a ton of money. Even if you're working in another city, for instance, when I was in New York City doing just fine, I moved to LA and I had a name from New York moving to LA. So people still knew who I was through other people and some of my friends had moved there. It's still slow in the beginning. So you have to have money saved up if you're planning on just being a musician somewhere when you go to a new area. We'll talk later in another episode more about that, moving to a new spot. But definitely realize that you can't just go somewhere with no money and not have any backing or anything. You need to have a plan.
Which you can have fun with too. I mean, you know, you have to first consider that you have no off time at this point. Like, you're hitting the pavement. Yeah, you'll have free time. You need to relax, stay mentally, like, healthy. But you can look at all this stuff as, you can learn new skills, too, that might come in handy later. I mean, you can look at what people do for work. Look at job listings. You might be able to learn some new stuff, make money doing it, that either has to do with music or has nothing to do with music. You know, we live in digital media world. So you could take that time, any off time you have, and learn new skills. That stuff can always come in handy later on. If you get into a slow spot, you might be able to do some editing work. You might be able to do some photos. You might be, you know, whatever. Like, there's so much.
You're 100% right.
There's so much stuff out there. You might as well learn instead of just stressing out, you know?
And not just that, but you're right in so many ways there. And it's important in a lot of different ways. For instance, if you start learning how to edit video, which I taught myself and Jake has, you know, learned, and Jake has done even more work than me because he's worked for companies doing it. When you have to cut a video of yourself playing, who's going to do it? You already have that skill. Plus, you know other musicians, and if you want to get in with them networking, you can say, hey, look, I'm a video editor. You guys need someone to cut a video for a promo. I'm your guy. And then all of a sudden, instead of figuring out how to open the door between you and these musicians that already have gigs in town, you're offering them a service. And again, we're going to talk about networking more later, but that's just common knowledge. This is just good stuff to have.
Yeah, I've actually noticed with people do a lot of like pedal demos. You can always like shoot video for companies. You could ask, hey, do you do demos for your pedals? You can go after boutique companies. There's just a lot of stuff you can do. Just don't get lost in that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Keep the goal of like, you're a musician, you want to be on stage. But exactly. That stuff helps.
All right, next, let's move on to networking, right? You're in this new town. You have to figure out how to get gigs. You're a little freaked out. You're going out all the time, and you're trying to figure out how to break into these scenes. Well, the first thing I always tell people is think yourself like a complete freelancer. Not that you have a degree, not that you have a skill set that you can sell to anyone, like in the corporate world. You're a freelancer, just like a plumber, just like anyone that is from job to job making their reputation as positive as possible. So if you do a good job for someone like a plumber, and then my neighbor wants a plumber, they need one, I say, hey, call this guy. That's pretty much how everything works in the music business. As soon as you start showing up, being on time, being prepared, and sounding great, and being cool, being friendly and likable, the more friends you're going to make and the more you're going to work. And again, I'm saying this numerous times, but networking is such a big topic that we're going to do episodes just completely on networking. So this is more of an overview to explain things. So let's move on to mental health. Mental health is a huge, huge, huge one. It's daunting to move to a new place. It's stressful to move. It's stressful to be in a new area. But that can also be really exciting. It depends on what kind of personality you have. A lot of people thrive when they're in a new area, and they love the fact that they can go out and meet all these different people and see all this music, and they're excited to get in the scene. A lot of people burn out quickly. You have to be resilient, and you have to not get defeated. I was just talking to someone the other day and about success to failure, right? And pretty much every successful musician has had way more failures than they've had successes. It's just that you hear about the successes. I even wrote a blog post on mymusicmasterclass.com about that. But in my own life, it's the same way. I used to say that if you're of 20% success, then you're doing pretty well. When I used to license music for television, I would pitch to a lot of different music supervisors for a lot of shows, and if I had a 20% success rate, my career was pretty good. So don't worry about getting knocked down. Don't worry if someone else gets a gig over you. Don't worry if you go to 10 auditions and you don't get one. It's about the 11th audition or the 20th or the 50th.
Yeah, and also don't worry about if you're not always super motivated. Like, motivation is one of those things that I struggle with. You know, I'll wake up and I don't feel this crazy excitement of like, what am I going to do today? I feel like I'm doing something wrong, but that's not
right.
Like, you have different levels of motivation, different levels of how your day is going to go, as long as you can stay like productive at this, at right. this at least like level area of productivity, I mean, you're going to be good, but you're going to have good days and bad days. You just can't let it decide for you. That's how you're going to feel for like the rest of the week.
Yeah. And don't forget that there are a lot of things you can do that are exciting and fun that aren't music related that you should really do when you go to a new area. For instance, in LA, I remember some of the best advice I got was I was just pounding the pavement there. And one of my friends that I met there said, hey, don't forget on the weekend once in a while, if you're not gigging, go up to Santa Barbara, or go hiking in the canyon,
go to like
do
the
something
Getty
that's
go to an art museum, look at art.
Learn, see the sights, and just get out of Los Angeles too, because Los Angeles is where you should be if you're in California for music in that area. San Francisco is also cool, but if you're in LA, that's a great area, but it's not the prettiest area. Everywhere else around LA is super pretty. You can go to Catalina. You could go to, like I said, just go north a little bit and you start seeing some trees.
Staycations.
take a little vacation. And they're all drivable. They're day trips.
And you can listen to our podcast.
Yeah, and you can listen to our podcast. But basically, if you are training for MMA or something like that, that's something to concentrate on. Just don't hurt your hands or your back or anything.
Oh,
right?
Man, you! I remember running. You were doing, what were you doing? Like jujitsu or something?
I was doing
for a while?
That. Yeah, Muay Thai and jujitsu
Muay Thai,
for sure.
Right. That was great.
But
I
was also
that.
Doing it. But you know who was in my class? Brendan Buckley. So it was a really, yeah, exactly. There was two musicians in there and we would hang out. So sometimes there's even musicians in your hobbies. And you get to hang out and know each other a little better. But if you like painting, hiking, reading, do something that lets you remain sane as long as possible.
Yeah, you need to be able to walk away from some stuff sometimes. And it's good to have a place to walk to. that's
for
that's
sure.
Mental health 101 right there.
The next point is your goals. You want them to be specific and realistic. You want to set your goals and constantly work on them, but in a really organized way. You don't want to just have an abstract goal that's not attainable. I know this is self-help 101. If you read any book, they say be specific about your small steps, but that's kind of what it is here. Don't just have a random step of, I want to be famous. Or I also don't really believe in the most specific steps, although they seem to work for some people. I was talking to Miles Okazaki the other day, and he seemed to think that some people that have really, really specific steps work.
I think that goes with different personalities, for sure.
Yeah, it goes. Like, for me, I wouldn't want to say, I want to play in Sting's band. Like, you know, for instance. But again, Joe Lowry was in Sting's band, and she said, yeah, I was thinking that I'd really like to play with Sting. That would be my ultimate gig. And then she got it, right? So you can set any goal you want. But even with Joe, as she explained, she had these small goals of just being super prepared, being super professional, and doing a crushing, amazing job on every gig she ever did, which means even the gig that she only got paid $20 and dinner for, she was on time, she knew all the songs, and she performed as if she was in a huge stadium with Sting. And that kind of thing got back to the right people, and all of a sudden, she auditioned for the right gig, she was the perfect person for it, and she got it. So no matter where you are, if you're playing a Starbucks, God forbid. No, I'm just kidding.
Do they have music?
Yeah, I hate Starbucks. No, I'm just kidding. I know Jake hates Starbucks, so that's why I said that. I have nothing against Starbucks, but he's a coffee snob, so he does not like Starbucks.
Yeah.
All right. But if you're, no matter where you're playing, act as if it's the best place to be and that it's a big stage and that there's tons of people listening and you're on your best. Always play your best is what I mean, and always give every gig the respect it deserves, and hopefully that pays dividends for you. So remember, nobody owes you anything in this life or in this career. You have to earn it yourself. It doesn't matter where you went to school. It doesn't matter who you know. It's really, you just be humble and work hard, be cool and power through.
Plus, you want to make music. I mean, it's really fun to play music with people. And you get to meet new people if you're in like singer-songwriter crowds, if you're playing with cats that are doing fusion, like all instrumental stuff. Go make music.
And be happy doing it, right?
Yeah, that's how people are going to hear you too. But if you're enjoying it, you know, all of a sudden you're getting paid for it. All of a sudden you're making a living doing it, you know. But don't come at it like, I went to school people better give me work. I'm the best. You know, that's not a good attitude exactly. to have.
No, and that shit will just get you shelved. I mean, no one will call you if you have that attitude, because there's so many players and so many musicians in these big cities that the only way to get in is to find your niche, make friends, do and be cool and be happy. You know, it's just like Jake just said, it's a really important point. Happiness is contagious. And if you're having a good time on a gig, you see guys smiling on a gig, it makes everyone else smile. And people want to be around people that are happy. No one wants to be around the dude that is on the gig vibing and saying, you know, we're not getting paid for rehearsals, we're not doing this. You know, everyone's in the same situation and they decided to be there. So
they're like, yeah, we know, dude, we know.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody, yeah, everybody knows. You don't have to do the gig, you know. They don't have to do the gig either. But you guys are all there, so you have to pull together and make the best music you can.
Yeah,
and be positive about
and
it.
And if you really need to, like, complain, or not complain, but, like, go have a drink after and be like, hey, how do we get better gigs? You know what I mean? Be proactive if you have a complaint.
You're right. You want to build upon that. You want to use that. Say, I'm going to use this shitty gig that we're doing in order to get better gigs. Exactly. You go out, you make friends, you say, look, this isn't the best gig, but it's cool. It's work. We're getting out there. We're playing. Yeah. I met you. That's cool. But we got to do something. Make a plan. You know, work with your friends. Work with the other musicians that you create bonds with, and try to make a scene. And again, we're going to talk about a lot of this stuff in future podcasts about how to make a scene, about how to network more and do all these things. But this is a really important overview. So for now, we're going to say goodbye and stay tuned for the next one. If you have any questions or comments or ideas for future podcasts, things that you want to hear us talk about, email us at contact@theperformerspathway.com. That's contact@theperformerspathway.com. Or you can check out our website at theperformerspathway.com. Thanks.